He is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Awesome God. Oh, come on. We're going to praise up in here today. We're going to celebrate our great God, His majesty, the royalty, His splendor, His awesome. Come on, put those hands together like that. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Put a praise right there. Put a praise right there. Yeah. Put a praise right there. Come on, come on. Holy Father. King. You're the creator of everything. Ruler of heaven. Ancient of days. Forever, always. I'll give you praise. Come on, say, Holy Father. King of kings. Yes. Come on, you're the creator.
What up, y'all? It's season two of Jacoby Radio, man. Hope y'all been blessed. Hope y'all been doing great out there in this world. Hope y'all been loving life. Hope God has been giving you everything that you've been calling it to be. Welcome to season two of Jacoby Radio, man. As y'all can see, this is my jam, boy. I'm Turk. Woo! It's season two, y'all. Yo, I'm so thankful to everybody who's cared to listen, share the podcast, get a feedback, get a... whatever they want to give, criticism, all of that, man. I love it. I thank you. Yo, we are like way past over 1,000 listeners, and I'm geeked, man. This happened like, I think last month. As you see, I've been slacking, but yeah, thank y'all, man. Like I pray that the Most High has been giving y'all clarity, understanding, and fruit to go do your own thing, do your own research, and to be encouragement and loving to others. So I'm just thankful that I can serve y'all. And I can be a voice of love, a voice of reason, and a studious defender for the believers out here, man. So I love y'all, and I thank y'all. I thank y'all so, so much for believing in the Most High and believing in Christ. That's a weird thing to thank somebody for, but I want y'all to be encouraged. Enjoy the season two. We got some dope stuff I'm about to talk about and share with y'all. So y'all enjoy the rest of this, and be blessed. Hey! Season two! Hey!
Awesome, mighty, up your banner, glorious,
1, 2, 3.
Oh! Yo, just getting straight to it. Government shutdown. Yo, this has actually been the second longest running government shutdown in our history. About 800,000 plus people are without a job. The number is probably like 1 million some people, you know, out of pay right now with the government still being shut down. The talk of the town is they're saying is Trump trying to get the wall funded. Of course, we know that's always it actually is part of the issue, but that's always like a running distraction from what's actually holding up the budget. If you guys don't know what a government shutdown entails exactly, a government shutdown is usually when the government shutdown is fails, there's a discord between how we're going to pay off certain bills. So picture like a husband and wife, you know, arguing about how they're going to get something paid off and nothing gets paid, nothing gets done because they can't agree on the budget. That's basically what's going down right now. So until they figure out where they want to put the funds for federal government operations, then nothing's really about to move. And a lot of this, along with the tariff war that's been going on, has really been hurting farmers with them receiving government aid to pay for some of these checks. And then you got all these disasters that's been happening. And organizations making on government funding to fund nonprofits and for a lot of disaster recovery stuff. And even like TSA families, you know, that I saw something NPR put out about many TSA employees don't have a savings to fall back on. And they really rely on these government aviation system checks. You know, when you're thinking about, you know, how big government shutdown is, and then you got to think about hurricane season and the government shutdown, this is going to be long lasting effects. Like, we kind of just take it as like, oh, the government shutdown, you know, they do this all the time, you know, whatever. Let's go to the park. Like, nah, you know, like this is a kind of a really big deal, especially since I hope you guys had read this or had the time to. In the midst of the government shutdown, I remember last month, they just released the 4th annual global climate assessment. And if y'all have not checked that out, I strongly, strongly encourage you to check out the 4th National Climate Assessment. It's on a .gov server. This assesses the science of climate change and vulnerability and its impacts across the U.S. And what's crazy about this, man, I actually sat there and read a lot of it. This assessment, man, it's going in on some very in high level or in very strong detail about what the country sees the world and our country going within the next 10 years or so. In a lot of the 3 to 5 to 10 year period. And a lot of this stuff is like, man, like you could kind of probably imagine, or if you read your Bible, you know that like this part is coming, but it's crazy when you hear the scientific world, put a lot of this stuff out, right? Some of the topics covered is communities, economy, interconnected impacts, actions to reduce risk, water, health, indigenous peoples, ecosystems and services, agriculture, infrastructure, oceans and coasts, tourisms and recreation. These are the 12 major topics that they picked. These are pretty much it's 16 national level topics, and there were about 12 high brief summaries of the 16. And a lot of this, man, a lot of this kind of blew my mind. Like one with economy says, without substantial and sustained global mitigation and regional adaption efforts, climate change is expected to cause growing loss to American infrastructure and property and impede the rate of economic growth over this century. I mean... Dang, like over this century? Gosh, Lee, like y'all saying this issue gonna be that long? Like, so within the next 15 years, we'll still be seeing side effects of this? I mean, that interconnected impacts is what got me too. It said climate change affects the natural, built, and social systems we rely on individually and through their connections to one another. These interconnected systems are increasingly vulnerable to cascading impacts that are often difficult to predict, threatening essential services within and beyond our national borders, meaning that you have a lot of these things that are connected to each other. So say climate impacts, you know, damages a water system or damages something else. Now you got filtration problems. Well, then, you know, you have a shortage of water. Now you can't grow stuff. Now you can't do stuff. Now there's a shortage of food on the market. Now there's a food gap somewhere. Now we're talking health issues or even simple infrastructure with things. Everybody know who lives in Michigan. Every season, them roads getting redone because, you know, that changes. So now you're saying the climate is going to damage, you know, say road services so bad. So now you can't fix the road. You can't get the material to build the road. You can't even get the funding for it because so many interconnected things are impacted. And then it talks about, and what was interesting, one of them here was actions to reduce risk. It's, oh my goodness. It says a lot of it. It says communities, governments, and businesses are working to reduce risk from and costs associated with climate change by taking action to lower greenhouse gas emissions and implement adaptation strategies. While mitigation and adaptation efforts have expanded substantially in the last 4 years, they do not yet approach the scale considered necessary to avoid substantial damages to the economy, environment, and human health over the coming decades. Dang. And then it just goes on and on about water and health. One of the last things I'll talk about with this is health. And I think health is wealth. And I think this is a major thing. So y'all bear with me, but I think this is needed for everybody to hear. It says impacts from climate change on extreme weather and climate-related events, air quality, and the transmission of disease through insects and pests, food, and water increasingly threaten the health and well-being of the American people, particularly populations that are already vulnerable. It says changes in the temperature and precipitation are increasing air quality and health risks from wildfire, y'all know like out in Cali, and ground level ozone pollution. Y'all know like the top layer of the ozone protects us from the sunlight, but the bottom layer of the ozone is actually very poisonous for us. So it says rising air and water temperatures and more intense extreme events are expected to increase exposure to waterborne and foodborne diseases, affecting food and water safety. With continued warming, cold-related deaths are projected to decrease, and heat-related deaths are projected to increase. In most regions, increases in heat-related deaths are expected to outpace reductions in cold-related deaths. Wow. That's saying like that just because cold-related deaths are going to go down, like if you're in Michigan, you know, or Chicago or East Coast, you know, like, man, when it's winter, it get cold, people be dying, homeless folks be getting killed. If you in Texas, Arizona, you know, the Louisiana, Mississippi, you know, like, or Nevada, it's getting hot and people are dying because of that. But they're saying that the heat deaths will rise so much, it'll still even outpace reductions in cold-related deaths. Man, it says the frequency and severity of allergic illnesses, y'all know what that's like for us, including asthma, what I got, hay fever, are expected to increase as a result of a changing climate. Climate change is also projected to alter the geographic range and distribution of disease. That means it's going everywhere. Carrying insects and pests, exposing more people to ticks that carry Lyme disease and mosquitoes that transmit viruses such as Zika, West Nile, and D-E-N-G-U-E. I don't want y'all making fun of me because I don't know how to say that. With varying impacts across regions. Communities in the Southeast, for example, are particularly vulnerable. Texas,
For example, are particularly vulnerable to combined health impacts from vector bone diseases, heat, and flooding. Like the Harvey joint. That's still holla at government shutdown. That's impacting those who are trying to get their stuff together from Harvey or from Florence, right? Hurricane Florence, yeah. That hit Virginia and hitting everybody in the whole East Coast. They still trying to get back from that. It says that this is a result in livelihoods of community relocation, populations including older adults, children, lower income communities, and some communities of color are often disproportionately affected by and less resilient to the health impacts of climate change. I'm going to read that again. It says populations including older adults, children, lower income communities, and some communities of color are often disproportionately affected by and less resilient to the health impacts of climate change. Adaption and mitigation policies and programs that help individual communities and states prepare for the risk of changing climate reduce the number of injuries, illness, deaths, and climate-related health outcomes. Yeah, okay, because they may not have the resources, not that they're less than human. But with that, right, now you got government shutdown, so your government is not even preparing for interconnected impacts or actions to reduce these risks because there's no funds going nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. So notice how this is all intertwined, because they try to distract y'all by not putting it out there that the fourth National Climate Assessment was released for the people. Like, this is for everybody to read. I think it should honestly be a requirement to graduate high school and college right now for you to have to read this and talk about it. Because not understanding stuff like this truly impacts your moral compass and understanding. You know what I'm saying? Like when you think about what you want to do with your life, you may not be able to do it because you're not prepared to know what's coming. So people who, I saw Jackie Hill Perry post this, folks who still building their ark, keep building, because they laughed at Noah too. But when he had his ark together and built, and when the storm came, he was prepared. So y'all got to prepare, because these two things are interconnected, right? And these are interconnected in a way that I could keep going on and on and on and on. And I'm not. And they just keep throwing distractions out there. You know, there's a lot of topics that need to be talked about and need to be discussed. But make sure you are aware of what society you live in. Because there's a problem that every community has. But if you're not able to, like I know as a African-American, as a male African-American, as an American citizen, right? And you notice how I separate three. As a Hebrew, I call myself a Christian, as a believer of Christ, as, you know, as an Israelite, a Hebrew, same thing. As a native from Flint who has a water crisis, and as a resident here in Texas, right? Like, I have so many things that impact my small community. Then there's the problem with the world. There's the problems that I have. Then there's the problems that the world has together. And I can't focus strictly on my small ecosystem and my environment. Yes, issues that impact the black community, I'm saying that with quotes, the black community, us, are extremely important. And we also have to be aware of the issues that impact our macro community, like everybody, like, you know, like we all got common problems that we got to fix. And they all got to be hand in hand, not necessarily a hierarchy. Now, we can talk about prioritization, all that, what we'll do. But in essence of moral compass and truth and understanding of something, they've all got to be talked about and addressed. That's why I'm glad they're talking about R. Kelly's situation. I'm glad they gave that man what he need to have coming to him. And I'm going to just keep that short and simple, man. Screw him and anybody like him. May the Most High have the judgment that he needs to have on their head. And I want it to be put out there now, despite all the Willie Lynch's out here trying to divide people, black men don't support R. Kelly like that. Neither do they support pedophiles or anything like that. If any man that's got a daughter, a sister, a mother, a granny, or any woman in his life that he loves and had the value of getting to know,
Man, Caitlyn, ain't nobody kicking it with pedophiles. Don't nobody know them like that. You nobody hanging out with them or see the signs of that. Yo, I know some dudes who talk foul about women, say some things that I don't agree with, and you know, we'll talk about it and check each other, yada, yada. But I ain't never heard no, hey, bro, I just pitched on a little 14-year-old the other day, bro. It felt great. What? I don't know anybody like that. And if y'all know anybody like that, you need to call the police. And you need to document what you heard. You need to let them know. I don't care if they call it snitching or not. I'm a snitch on you if I don't handle you myself. And may God judge that. But now that that's being brought up, we got to talk about all these other things that's going on with it. You know, it's an issue not just for our community. It's not a African-American issue. That's an issue for everybody. Because you got people like Jerry Sandusky ripping all them boys at Penn State for years and years and years, and Joe Paterno letting it happen. You got the doctor that works in the Olympics being a pedophile to them young girls in the Olympics and in the gymnastics world. It's disgusting. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And they come in the forms of like the Hugh Hefners of the world, and people will say, "Oh, Hugh Hefner wasn't like that, whatever." That's a gateway, like they call marijuana gateway drug, prostitution, strip clubs, Playboy, and certain clubs, certain places, they are gateways to lead to that type of thought process environment. And yes, all that can happen without all that. I feel all that, but that don't change that those are still gateways to that. So we got to say no to the pedophiles, to the rapists, and to institutions that support that. If you've ever been to a strip club, you've been to something like that, yo, you realize off top that all of that promotes all the unwrongfulness, all the unrighteousness, all the ungodliness. It's sick and disgusting, bro. And people be like, "Oh, no, it's da-da-da-da-da, whoop-de-whoop, okay, whatever." Ain't no different than when you catch a priest or some pastor or some rabbi or, you know, or some imam or somebody touching and raping and being a pedophile to a young kid in the places that people go to worship. The enemy comes in sheep's clothing everywhere. There's a big problem for everybody, and it's got to be talked about. So big shout out for all the women speaking up and coming out and expressing themselves in a Me Too manner, not being scared to let people know. It's a lot of men rocking with y'all. We're rocking with y'all. But do not let the Willie Lynch theory put a deception of division that men ain't for y'all. A lot of men ain't even unified like that. You got to take a man by person. But it's a lot of us that are men, a collaboration of individual mans who love y'all and care for y'all. With one body, one Christ. So, with that being said, I'm going to talk to y'all about some books I got that I think is... tell me that y'all read or not before we really, really talk about the also the lesson. Some book recommendations. I got this book called From Babylon to Timbuktu. It's by Rudolph R. Windsor. It's a history of ancient black races, including the black Hebrews. Which really is going to be funny when you dive down deep into that, when he's going to show you that there's no such thing as a black Hebrew. There's a Hebrew in that they were just originally black. But for way for you to understand it, which is kind of dope. He talks about a lot about genealogy in a very extremely detailed and easily, you can go find your own research yourself way to follow along. It's a beautiful book. And I love it a lot. I got How Africa Shaped the Christian Mind by Thomas C. Oden. It's a pretty good book. I got this book yesterday called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. Evidence that the Masonic Lodge has a secret agenda by Ralph A. Iperson. If y'all have ever read that, let me know some reviews about it. I've heard about it, but don't really know much on it. The author's pretty dope. He's very detailed as well. So I haven't read it yet, but it's going to be pretty good. Of course, I got the Global Study Bible. Let's see. It's this book called I got from my accountability partner, Dre. Actually, the guy who does the light series on here. Be Courageous by... Who is this person? Of course, it doesn't have a name. By Warren W. Wiersbe. W-I-E... RSBE. Be courageous. This right here actually is what inspired Dre to write his short film called Who Are You Calling Homeless, which is a very good film that several of us brothers are putting together. So y'all stay tuned for that. That's going to be dope. Y'all about to get me going on something. But that is that's going to be something really cool, I think, for everybody that we've been putting together and shooting and working on for the past couple months. So we got some really good crew that we're working with to get this project done. But it was really inspired by Be Courageous, a very good book I tell y'all check out. I also got The Passion Generation by Grant Skeldon. He's a guy that leads the 72 Initiative, which is pretty dope. He's been doing a lot of great things for the city. A young millennial guy, very strong writer, very a good people person, good leader in the community. I check that out. And I got The New World Order by Ralph A. Ipperson. And this is an interesting book at the end. I haven't really read it like that just yet because I just got a lot of these books. when you open up the book, it says the phrase "Annuit coepitis novus ordor seclorum." It says, as found on the top and bottom of the reverse side of the Great Seal of the United States, as displayed on the back of the American dollar bill, is Latin. Like that, the phrase that's on the back by the pyramid. It says the American dollar is Latin for announcing the birth of the New World Order. And I was like, what? Huh? What? I was tripping out. You know, so my ignorance, so I had to like Google Translate that. I said, well, then hold on, bro. Like, so I translated it in Google, and Google put it means and beckoned with the completion of his enterprise with new orders, with new order of the ages. That is literally like the King James Version. And what I read in that book was the ESV. So it's the same thing. So I was like, no, I didn't know. So I would encourage y'all to check these books out and keep reading and having just the knowledge and understanding of kind of what's what out here and resources you can got. Yo, so as far as regarding kings keeping their crown, man, I kind of want to leave y'all with some words of encouragement that's been making me just all the, you know, believers, all the children of the Most High, and all those afar who, you know, are coming new to know who Christ is, you know, just to continue to grab your crown and grab what's yours. And by grabbing that crown, I was thinking to myself, what does it mean by keeping that crown that we have and is given to us? And it made me think of Paul. And some of the things that Paul talked about, he referenced a lot of himself as who he was and who he became to be. And so what I'm about to cite is a lot of stuff from y'all comes from Philippians. Right here in Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I didn't run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon a sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. That's deep. Paul says in Philippians 3:2, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I gotta have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as of the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Amen. That was Philippians 3, the entire thing, and 4, verse 1. Paul kind of really hits on a lot of things to me, and I think I don't really much need to say much after that. Of just taking your crown back by being loving and kind of count others more worthy than ourselves as far as their importance of, in our lives and what we should do and how we should reach and love people and kind of just set ourselves aside to help somebody else find the salvation in Christ. And that's what's keeping a crown. Whether you consider yourself a king or queen, anybody who sees the Most High as a blessing and sees the Most High as a salvation and a savior, consider yourself to be a person to want to find every way and every which type of pretense of or in truth, try to find ways Christ is proclaimed and rejoice in it. Find what that is. That's how you keep a crown. Kings and queens help other people become kings and queens. They don't hide it. They don't hide the truth. They empower their people by every which way, form, and fashion. They show them what's wickedness, what's unrighteousness. They show them what's unlawful, what's unloving, what damages the energy, the spirit, the body, destroys our temple. And they feed them what's good, what's holy, what's true, matrimony. They show them love, compassion, things of obedience. We must be obedient to the Most High, obedient to God, because God is not something that can be put in a temple, synagogue, a church, a mosque. God can't fit in there. Jehovah is higher. Yahweh is bigger. We must be thankful always that we have the ability to run this race. And Paul was a king. In the spirit, he was a king. And he was in prison writing this. In prison. It was like, man, you about to get killed for even writing this, bro. And he said it was safe. So it's safe to reach out to people. The world tells you it's not safe. It is safe. In verse 12 of Philippians 1, verse 12, it says, I want you to know, brothers, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. He said the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Lying about the word. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoiced. Amen. 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 He says, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I'll choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Amen. May the word bless the readers and hearers of this word. So I pray that y'all continue to grab your crown, take hold of it, fight on and stand firm in that. Not only this is just a new year, but we are still running forward and forgetting the things of what lies behind us, but what lies ahead and what Christ has in store for us. And that we are chosen, we are great. Whether we have no job or whether we are super rich, all can be used for the glory of the Most High. Whether you've done the worst of the worst or you've always been running a good race, if you choose Christ and you are trying, it is all the same. May the Most High be with y'all. I love y'all. Welcome back. Love y'all. Peace and love, y'all. Spread the love. Spread the joy. God bless y'all. Y'all be with you. In Yahweh's name, in Jesus Christ's name. Peace.